Welcome to the Chick Foley Show.
What is up, Foley fam? We are back with an all-elite episode of the Chick Foley Show. We'll be sprinkling in a little bit of WWE talk here and there, but we're mostly talking about all elite wrestling tonight. We had an awesome pay-per-view last Sunday, and you know they've really kind of dominated the news cycle this week for good or bad. So we'll get into all of that. But first, let me introduce the star of the show, Sheena. How you doing?
I'm doing good, man. Between the two-night awesome WrestleMania that we had and this killer Dynasty show, like, I just feel like wrestling is freaking rocking and rolling right now, so I'm a happy camper.
Yeah, it's definitely a great time to be a wrestling fan. You know, I think we definitely got to do some research because there may be some other months to stack up, but I think between between WrestleMania, between Dynasty, all the cool stuff TNA and New Japan are doing, April 2024 may have a legitimate claim to be the best month in the history of professional wrestling.
We'd have to go back and fact check that. But yeah, you know, recency bias for sure.
Yeah. Want to remind you guys at the top, this show is brought to you by Ringside Collectibles. Use code Chick Foley to save 10% on all your purchases there. They dropped some carded images of Elite Series 110 today. Those look really, really nice, especially those two Pete Dunne figures. Don't be discouraged that the box still says Butch. You know, we just couldn't quite make it in time. Sheena, tell us, what is new on the farm?
So I've been talking about my goats being pregnant, and we finally have a new member of the goat faction out there. And we have a little girl, a little baby kid named Myrtle. Oh my gosh, she's so cute. I got to be there for the birth. It was my first ever goat birth viewing. So pretty incredible stuff. And she's healthy. She's happy. Mama's healthy and happy. And I've started, you know, milking goats. So that's
Sheena's a goat milker.
I'm officially a goat milker. So cool stuff happening here on the homestead.
Yeah, it's very it's just magical seeing this little goat. She's just ridiculously cute. Like if you had a video game, if you were on Minecraft and you were creating a goat from scratch, like this is what it would look like. Like it's just, you know, white, all kinds of different coloring and stuff on it. Really, really beautiful. And she's just so healthy and thriving.
And
you know,
she's
running around,
yeah,
goofing off, chasing around the bigger goats, like loves being around the kids. Like, yeah, it's definitely been a big like breath of fresh air and just energy in the, the backyard farm.
Mm-hmm.
We also got a knock on wood, you know, we're closing in the last couple of days of April and we haven't had any freak storms yet.
Oh yeah, it's coming though, dude. I you know, summer is coming. You know, it's gonna be windy AF. So I'm anticipating some, you know, Wizard of Oz type weather to hit us sooner rather than later.
It was mid June where we had that bad one last year. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, we're about to watch an AEW pay per view, right?
Forbidden Door.
Forbidden Door.
Set up on the back porch. Next thing we know, the greenhouse doors are ripped off.
Yeah, it did look like Wizard of Oz that day. Stuff was like flying across the.
And it came out of nowhere, dude. Like we literally just went and got a bunch of barbecue.
Yeah,
takeout.
We set up some barbecue on the back porch, and
knocked the internet out and everything. I didn't have to watch Forbidden Door on my cell phone. Yeah, it was horrible, man.
Yeah, Tennessee is wild, dude.
Yeah, the weather's crazy here. Sheena, remind the listeners where they can find you on social media.
You can find me on Instagram at Chick Foley, Marco running the Twitter machine over at Chick Foley Show. You can join our private Facebook group by going to chickfoley.com. That's where all the communication goes down, all the fun stuff's happening over there. We have our picks league, we help each other,
pay-per-view live threads.
Yeah,
those new legends are about to hit this weekend. I already got I'm getting a whole case of the Ultimate Edition Yokozunas. That's going to be my strategy for getting a chase. We live so far out, man, that fig hunting is really just not a thing for us. Like,
we
have our Walmart here in Oakland, but the closest Target is still 30 minutes away, and you gotta go into like a super high traffic area. Like, it's just
it's not easy to get in and
so
out of.
My strategy, if anybody wants to take this, if you're in a similar situation to me, Sunday morning, it should be the last legend sets. They went up, they kind of popped, like, as you know, to be ordered in stock around like 5 or 6 in the morning, because these things are already sitting in the back of stores. Target's just been strict as hell.
Yeah, I went to a Target recently, and the fig section was abysmal, dude. There was literally like 2 figures on the pegs, and I'm just like, I sent it to Seth, and he's like, yeah, they're about to do another reset, dude. So like, they're holding street dates pretty hard right now.
Having street dates for action figures just completely boggles my mind. Like, I feel like action figures is something,
thing.
if if somebody comes in the store and wants to spend money on it, because it's not a shared experience, right? Like music or video games, I get it.
Yeah, everybody's music, listening to the album at the same time.
You want it hitting at the same time. Same thing with a video game, especially if it's online. You want everybody flooding the games at the same time. But yeah, action figures, it's just, it's a solitary, experience.
Do other toy line, like do Legos and stuff like that? Do they have like street dates on stuff?
I'm assuming, I can't imagine this is a WWE exclusive thing. It's at least got to be a Mattel thing, if nothing else.
You guys will have to let us know if you work at Target and, let us know if there's other lines or if it's just a Mattel thing, because I'm curious,
If it's Micah, if your bitch ass is still listening from Honolulu, let us know, man.
Micah, yeah, he canceled us a long time ago.
Biggest bitch in Target history, man. But anyways, I was gonna say, I am gonna just, as soon as they pop, I'm ordering the entire case. I'm assuming they'll let me do it. I don't think there's a limit on them. I'm gonna order the entire case of Ultimate Edition Yokozunas from the Target up the road. They're in case of four, so it'd be $120, and I can either return to the store or flip them to, people in the Facebook group for shipping plus retail. But I'm hoping I get the chase, because I'm not really interested in another red and black Yokozuna. I feel like they did such a good job on his Elite that, it's basically an Ultimate Edition already, but I really want that red and white one. So as long as they got a chase in each case, I'll be good to go. Mm-hmm. You think I'm over? Is that doing too much?
You're always doing a little bit too much, but you did go into a store one time and fake that you were somebody else to get a defining moments figure. So
classic. Yeah, that was an all timer. Speaking of which, we flipped that. I ended up getting two of those defining moments. Macho Man hit the archives. You can find that story. It's been told on here a few times, but we flipped that one as a gesture of goodwill to Fully Posable.
Yeah.
To do a giveaway. We are teaming up with the Fully Posable boys again. It's looking like around May 9th. Me and Sheena are going to be heading over there. We're basically going to record a episode of Fully Posable with me and Sheena on board, but it's going to be shared audio. So they're going to release it on their feed. It'll be here on the Chick Foley feed also. And we're going to be giving away a Malachi Black Vault figure, that beautiful, amazing 1 of 5,000, sold out everywhere. One of our Foley fan members was kind enough that, he said our show and Fully Posable were his two favorite podcasts, and he's donated it to us. So we're going to do a giveaway. Got to talk to Jeff and Scott. We'll see exactly what we want to do. If we want to make it, follow on social media, or maybe just, send a screenshot that you listen to the pod. We'll come up with something easy. And you're not going to have to tag three people and make sure those three people tag three people, or, give up, credit card info, nothing like that to enter the contest. It's going to be a super easy and fun way to just, generate some support, and more than anything, to show some love back to you guys. So you looking forward to recording with the California kids again, Shane?
Always. It's been way too long. I mean, when was the last time we joined forces with
I think 2021, maybe, man.
Wow.
Yeah, I think it was spring 2021. We did a home and home with them, where we went and talked figures on their show, and then they came and talked wrestling on our show.
Yeah. We love those guys. So if you're not, even if you're not going to enter the giveaway, even if you're not you don't want that figure, go ahead and subscribe to Fully Posable.
They are the best.
The most consistent podcast in podcasting.
The Cal Ripken Juniors of podcasting. They've literally never missed a show, and they're going on 9 years now that they've been doing their pod, man.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Like when me and Jeff were kind of like sorting out the details, and he was like, well, what date and time do you guys usually record? And I'd be like, dude, we're the exact opposite of you guys when it comes to consistency and routine. We record whenever. So
yeah, we used to be, we've evolved over the years. Obviously the more kids we added to the mix, and the moves and the cross country situations and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. It gets a little hairy, but
I feel like it's much more enjoyable when we kind of just record when we want to, man.
Yeah.
Like anytime something like this is feeling like a chore, like you got to switch it up a little bit, man. I feel like it's been very refreshing kind of just doing it on an ad hoc basis. Like if the mood strikes us, we do.
If there's something to talk about. Yeah. I feel like a lot of times in wrestling, there's a little bit of a lull and you're forcing yourself to talk about something, and it's just,
And sometimes when you do the weekly shows, because you do got to kind of find stuff to talk about, it kind of levels things out and you end up feeling like you have to talk about everything. Like remember when we would, I want to say like late 2020, early 2021, like when we were kind of really hitting our stride, and like the show was doing great numbers wise. It was,
shout out to everybody who's been there.
Yeah.
We didn't
we didn't want to, break something that wasn't fixed, but it would definitely, we'd be
break
taping.
Something that wasn't fixed.
I mean, you know what I mean? Fix something that wasn't broke.
Yeah.
Scratch that, reverse it. But we'd be like 40 minutes deep into the show, and I'm kind of looking at the format like, dude, we've like barely scratching the surface here, man. So
yeah,
it's, I don't know. It's interesting, man. I feel like since we've gone a little bit less formal on it, it's been a more enjoyable recording experience.
For sure.
All right. all that out of the way, spent 10 minutes on housekeeping. That's a long one for us, man. You ready to get into some wrestling talk?
Oh, yeah. All right, so over the weekend, God, it was like this past weekend. We're almost to the following weekend.
This week has flown by.
It has flown by. It's been a crazy week over here. But we had AEW Dynasty. So incredible show.
Amazing pay per view.
Like, yeah, top to bottom, just action packed. Like, you know, banger after banger after banger, in the words of Sheamus. So what were your thoughts on Dynasty?
I loved it. You know, we weren't sure if this was going to be some sort of like AEW B show or something. They're introducing a few new show concepts this year. But I thought it was outstanding. Like some of those matches, especially like the last two, they had a tall task to follow up that Ospreay and Danielson match, and they still delivered. And I thought everything kind of had its place on the card. There were, like, at worst, the matches were just good. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. That was the absolute worst thing that you got on the show, was just a regular good match.
Yeah,
like,
there
was
absolutely nothing. You knew the show was going to be awesome, dude. The match card, I mean, was just fire from the beginning. Yeah. So
that's one thing about AEW. They've definitely taken NXT Black and Gold Takeover's place as the most consistent, like, you know, you're going to get a great show every time.
Yeah,
out,
I mean,
man.
Think
They're
about
never going to let you down.
Yeah, think about like how awesome this show was, and we didn't even have, I mean, no Kenny Omega, no Mox, no Hangman, no, I mean, there's like a million like incredible like A-list guys that weren't even on this card.
The
dude.
Show
so,
still delivered.
And
this,
yeah, it's still delivered. So incredible, awesome, you know, shout out to AEW for that. But we're just going to run over a few of the, you know, the top matches. If you guys haven't already heard about the whole pay-per-view by now, we're just going to...
spoiler alert. So if you, pretty sure anybody that's listening to this knows what happened at this point.
Yeah, so we're going to talk about the, we had a unification match for the Trios titles. It was the Claimed versus Bullet Club Gold. What were your thoughts on the match?
The match was cool. I thought, you know, it was a nice way to cap off the pre-show and this story that's been going for really about 6 months now between these guys. I was a little bit bummed. I guess it just made sense to keep it on the main show. I felt like the Trios Championships really kind of have more of a spot on Ring of Honor than AEW. I just felt like it's something to kind of differentiate and make something to make you seek out Ring of Honor, because it can be, you know, it's kind of easy to forget that it's there until the pay-per-views come around.
Yeah, and I was talking to Seth about this like a few days ago. I just feel like you said, it shouldn't be on AEW. I feel like we should really focus on like the tag team and the tag team division. Because AEW, unlike WWE, is just absolutely stacked with tag team wrestling. Yeah. And they treat it as such. You know, they treat it so, like, they give tag team wrestling the shine that it deserves. And when you're got a lot of these guys tied up in these Trios titles, it really kind of weakens the tag division a little bit. So I wouldn't have been mad to see them just kind of, like, go off of AEW television altogether. But, you know.
I'm here to stay. So. I'm a big fan in theory of the Trios Championship. Like, I was, you know, I don't want to sound like a hypocrite, because I was definitely calling for them to introduce this for a long time before they actually rolled them out. But I feel like in practice, it seems to be, like you said, it seems to be something where you end up just getting a ton of guys bogged down in these never ending feuds. But still a really good match, man. And another thing I got to say, dude, Jay White, I very, very rarely ever say a wrestler's being misused, especially if it's somebody that's getting TV time every single week. But I do think this guy is so far above being in the Trios division, man. I think Jay White is legit as far as in-ring, mic skills, just, you know, the aura, as the kids say now. You know, it's no longer about the vibe or the presence. It's all about the aura. I feel like the dude's probably top five, top six wrestler in the world right now. And, you know, he should be up there fighting for that that world championship, man. And it feels like he's far away from that.
I don't know. I mean, they could always heat him up. You know what I mean? Like, it's there was a lot going on when Jay White came into, you know, there was the MJF of it all. And like, you know, I feel like there was a lot going on. So, I mean, you know, AEW could heat him up and get him up there.
Where are you at on Switchblade? Are you as high on as I am, or?
I mean, yeah, he's awesome, dude. But yeah, I mean, I don't know if I'm as high on him as you are.
Okay.
I mean, he's a great wrestler. He's just not that interesting to me.
I mean, that's fair. I mean, I hear that from a lot. The more I've seen him, the more I've liked him. Like, when everybody was making such a big deal about him signing with AEW, I was like, whatever, you know, it's another guy.
It's a good gift for
AEW.
But
I think he's got mic skills that are a level above most of the guys on their roster.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. House of Black versus Edge, Mark Briscoe, and Eddie Kingston. This was an awesome match. I was saying, I didn't get to really say it because my daughter broke her arm, so I didn't even get to get on the show, the pre-show about this. But House of Black had to win this, dude. I was a little bit worried.
It was do or die. I was still worried they were going to lose. Man,
yeah, but during the match, I was like, oh, shit, dude. They're actually going to, like, let House of Black lose this. Thankfully, House of Black pulled it off. We got the Black Mist, and, you know, we're setting up a little Malachi Edge situation, or sorry, Copeland situation.
I mean, dude, the thing is, the Rated R Chicken Kings, that's a strong-ass team, dude. Those are all three individual, you know, singles champions in AEW. Yeah. So they're all three bringing belts to the table. I wouldn't mind seeing this spin off and we get, you know, three different solo feuds off of it, you know, let Mark Briscoe and Buddy Matthews go at it for the,
and Eddie
for
and
the Ring
Brody.
Of Honor. Let Eddie and Brody go at it for the New Japan Strong. And then Edge and Malakai would be money for TNT. You know, I know Edge has been a huge fan of, Malakai Black for, you know, going back to the NXT days on the old Edge and Christian pod, he would always talk about how much, you know, how cool he thought this guy was just as a character and a wrestler. So I think there's a lot of money to be made in those guys having a nice one-on-one feud now.
Yeah, and it's perfectly set up for you right now. So I hope they do capitalize on it in that way. And I'm so happy that House of Black finally, like, got a big win like this. And hopefully it's the momentum and the wind and the sales that they need to, you know, keep it up. Because, I still will never understand how Malakai, freaking Alistair, all that has just been so underused and, you know, misused since maybe he's an asshole. Maybe he's hard to work with. I don't know. You know what I mean? He could be a total dickhead behind the scenes and we just don't see it. But all I see is just like potential getting flushed down the toilet. So super stoked for House of Black to win this one. All right. You took a little bit of controversy because you said Chris Jericho got go home heat and our buddies over at the tavern said they didn't see it. But I mean, to me,
he definitely had the go away heat going, dude.
Yeah,
I mean,
he defeated Hook for the FTR championship, the FTW championship. But
luckily they were able to successfully kind of co-opt it by Wednesday night and just make it part of the gimmick. So I think even if he does, it works at least for the short term. But yeah, dude, I hate to say it. I think the crowd was a little rough on Jericho. Like, dude's a legend at this point, man. Legit, one of the top 10 all time easily. I do think he's got like big Shane McMahon 2019 vibes, dude, where, you know, they call it the Jericho Vortex, right? That's the same thing that we used to say about Shane McMahon. Guys, you know, promising guys get sucked into these never ending feuds and it just goes nowhere and nobody's elevated by it.
Yeah, you just unlocked core memory. I remember that when it was going down.
Shane had like Bobby Lashley and Drew McIntyre and their feud with like Roman and The Undertaker. And it was just, it was never ending, man. And that was like the absolute worst year of WWE back 2019 when, you know, coincidentally the year AEW launched. So I don't know, man, it definitely would benefit Hook from working from Jericho. I think there's a lot of goodness in that because Hook's as cool as he is. Like he's still, still very green.
Still very green.
I don't know. We got Big Cass coming out Wednesday night.
Hook could use a little bit of a charisma boost, dude. Like, he's cool. He's got the look. He's young. He's just like, I don't know. I love his, I guess I'll say aura. I don't know. I'm a millennial, so I'm going to say vibe. I love his vibe. But yeah, he could use a little shot of adrenaline from Chris Jericho for sure.
And the thing is, dude, Jericho is, much as we complain about, you know, the Jericho Vortex, he will put folks over, dude. And this is going to end with Hook going over in a big way.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, I think it's, you know, I think this could still work, but there's no doubt about it. He was definitely getting go away heat.
And I just don't mind Jericho. I mean, everything he does is like solid gold, dude. I mean, the man literally like cashes checks from freaking everything he says in the mic.
Yeah,
so I mean,
he's reinvented himself so many times over the years, too.
Yeah. So, yeah. Shout out to Jericho. I love that guy. Okay, we're going to move on. This is big money match right here. I don't know how we're even going to follow this, but Ospreay versus Danielson.
Just as far as bell-to-bell action goes, it was a perfect match. Like, absolutely captivating. Will Ospreay is just incredible, dude. Probably the best pound-for-pound wrestler in the world right now, at least when that bell rings, man. Like, the moves he does, it's the athleticism, but he's also got the power to go with it, right?
It's not
like the Ricochet deal. Because you remember him and Ricochet came up together. But Ospreay put on 30 pounds of muscle since him and Ricochet kind of made their mark back in 2016. It's just got the air of realism to it, the intensity, like just everything about Will Ospreay is freaking awesome.
Yeah, like you said, like back in 2016, I feel like it was just like all these like flips and high flying moves and stuff, dude. And now like Will Ospreay is just like an absolute monster, dude. Like, I mean, I don't know. He's awesome. I mean, just his size, his power, that elbow. I wouldn't fuck with that elbow at all, dude. Like, yeah. he's the man. So
Danielson had an awesome match too, dude. Daniel Bryan, yeah, dude. Bryan Danielson, whatever you want to call him. Like, he's still at the top of his
game.
You
know me. I'm a day one Daniel Bryan lover. He's my dude.
Yeah. Whoever would have thought he would come back this strong after, you know, basically being gone for, you know, 5 years.
Yeah. I do have one qualm at the end of that match. You know, they did the finish, the big finish, dropped Danielson on his head. And then, you know, they're like, oh my God, you know, he's doing the flailing, you know, the seizing up and everything. It's like they dropped him right on his head. So they show the replay and, you know, Daniel
Bryan.
Perfectly
executed, as safe as could be.
Yeah. Daniel Bryan being the absolute professional that he is, it, you know, took the move in the absolute safest way, did not land on his neck or head at all. I was like, dude, we should have just not showed the replay there. But
yeah, if I had the tiniest quibble, I'm really over the Daniel Bryan seizure cell. Like, you know, he was doing it back in WWE. He's done it a handful of times here. It's to the point where it's like a meme, dude. Like,
yeah.
To me, the seizure cell is something that you can do like
once,
maybe twice. You do it once and you maybe do a callback a couple years later, but at this point that's just kind of like his thing, dude. Like, I feel like somebody didn't really get the job done unless they put Daniel Bryan into a seizure.
Yeah. Oh man. Yeah, perfect match, so good. No, five out of five stars. Bucks versus FTR, and we got to see Jack Perry come back at the end.
Man. Yeah. So, first off, got to give a shout out to Matt and Nick and FTR.
Matthew and Nicholas.
Yeah, they could not have been in a worse spot. You know, this was Randy Orton and Triple H having to go on after Undertaker and HBK at WrestleMania 25. And you saw at the start of the match, the crowd is absolutely dead. There were a ton of empty seats, right? Because everybody's going to, you know, get a beer before the main event, take a piss. But, dude, by the end of this match, it was damn near just as hot as it was for the end of Danielson Ospreay. Like, they were pulling out some crazy moves, some stuff I've never seen with the ladders. It was brutal. Dax is bleeding all over the place.
Yeah.
Just a very, very painful looking match. And then you get the kiss on top with the scapegoat, Jack Perry, coming back.
Yeah. I mean, and Jack Perry, the shot of Jack Perry that they got when they, you know, unmasked him and he's looking dead into the camera and he's just smirking. It was perfection, dude. Like, it was so good. Like, the facial expression was so on point. I'm a day one Jungle Boy lover. You know, so I'm on board with Jack Perry. So, you know, team scapegoat over here for sure.
He's got some of the coolest merch in the wrestling game right now too. I don't know if you've seen some of the shirts he has out. Like, they are the coolest, man.
Yeah, love him. So we have a new AEW champion. Swerve defeated Samoa Joe for the AEW championship.
This match kind of was what it was. It was definitely a coronation for Swerve more than anything else. Didn't seem like there was a ton of resistance from Joe. I did buy the one false finish when he got hit with the muscle buster. I was like, oh shit, Joe's actually going to retain. But it felt like Swerve, you know, put him over clean as a sheet. Swerve got a very, very strong win, and we're in the Swerve era now, man.
I know. You love to see it too, dude. I mean, I don't know. A lot of people were like, you know, they think they should have drug out the Samoa Joe Swerve thing a little bit longer, but I say just cash in on it.
Yeah.
You know, Joe did an awesome job, like stabilizing the title and making it feel like a big deal. You know, not that MJF didn't make it feel like a big deal.
He was just out of gas by the end of it.
Yeah,
MJF literally could not go on any longer with that belt. He was so beat up physically.
Exactly. And it was just, you know, and it was just a totally different vibe. You know what I mean? Like, Samoa Joe and MJF just bring totally different energies to being a champion. And Samoa Joe, and he made it feel like a huge deal when Swerve won. And Swerve's been on the come up. Like, I mean, the feud with Hangman and all that, like, I just think it built him to a crescendo, and I'm glad he finally got his moment, dude.
Yeah, I feel like the only thing they got to do is Swerve, man. He's a babyface, dude. Like, drop the tweener stuff, man. Like, dude is a straight up babyface at this point. He's beloved by the crowd, man. He got over just organically off his own performances, and you gotta love the guy, dude. Got dropped from NXT and WWE. They came calling to try to get him back, and Triple H got in charge. He said, "No, I'm gonna ride it out with AEW." And he wasn't setting the world on fire at the time when they called him to get him back. He was doing cool stuff, but he wasn't at the top of the card. Dude literally just bet on himself, and now he's holding, you know, one of the most prestigious championships in wrestling, dude. Like, I'm a huge fan of the guy. I mean, you know, they really don't make a big deal out of it. He was an Army vet, you know, did I think 8 years in the Army. His dad was in the Army also. Like, this is a freaking badass American we got holding the AEW championship.
Yeah. You love to see it, dude. So, rooting for Swerve. I don't know how long he'll hold the title, or, you know, who's gonna dethrone Swerve, but
You got anybody in mind you think should be his first feud?
His first feud?
I'm thinking Hangman's got to come back sooner than later, man.
Like, yeah, you know, Hangman would be a good one, because that way, you know, it could just kind of be like a...
They need to have their finale at Double or Nothing, because, you know, Swerve got the win on him at... I can't remember if it was World's End or if that was back at Full Gear, but Swerve got the win on him in that big death match, you know, the one where they were drinking the blood and everything. But that was about as far from a clean win as it gets. You know, I think Hangman got freaking powerbombed through a table by Brian Cage that match. I think we need to see them go at it one-on-one and see if, you know, Swerve can really prove to be the better man over Hangman.
Yeah, I would like to see Swerve retain against Hangman. I mean, I love Hangman, but I would like to see him retain against Hangman, and then, you know, possibly fight like Will Ospreay or something, you know, somewhere along the road.
Will Ospreay's going for the international championship now against Roddy, so it feels like they're biding their time on Ospreay. I wondered about that, if they would just, you know, same thing like they struck with Swerve, just strike while the iron's hot with Will Ospreay. It'd be risky, because, like, then where do you go from there? He's definitely at that level where he's damn near made it undeniable for them to just put him in the world title picture right now. But I don't know. I feel like he has still got some legs from Swerve. It feels like there could be another Hangman world title run in there. And then Adam Cole and MJF, they still got kind of, claims to the belt when they come back. Yeah, you got to feel like that's going to have to, you know, revolve around the world championship as well. So very, very intriguing main event picture right now, man. I was thinking maybe they could have Ospreay go ahead and get the title shot at Double or Nothing. If we can go down, are you cool to do some fantasy booking?
Sure.
Let me pitch you this storyline, dude. Okay. So Ospreay gets the world championship match against Swerve at Double or Nothing. Still haven't seen anything from Hangman since then. Main event, you get a ref bump while ref's down. Hangman comes out, goes to Buckshot Lariat Swerve. Swerve ducks and he hits Ospreay instead. And then, you know, Swerve makes the cover as the ref wakes up. Because then you could, Swerve retains the belt, gets to keep on stepping. And then you could pivot to an Ospreay Hangman feud, which would be freaking badass. And it's away from the belt, and you buy yourself another, you know, six to nine months before you got to come back to Ospreay. Because I feel like all in next year. I feel like not this year at Wembley. I feel like next year at Wembley is when we see Ospreay finally get that belt and that crowning moment. Like, I feel like it's just tailor made for him to do it in London in front of that giant crowd.
Yeah. How old is he? Is he our age, 30?
No, Ospreay is 30.
He's just 30. Yeah. Okay.
A little younger than us. Yeah. I know in my mind, I still feel like 30, but
I feel like I'm forever 30. I can't believe I'm like knocking on the door of 40. That's just like blows my freaking mind. But yeah, forever 30.
But yeah, overall Dynasty, 2 thumbs up, man. Amazing show. Like, it was just awesome, dude. Like, just a really, it was the absolute perfect AEW experience, right? Nonstop action, crazy spots, some of the most creative moves you're ever going to see in a wrestling ring.
So what unfortunately, like, what about the fallout, dude? So we had this awesome pay-per-view, and then we had Dynamite that had some of the lowest Dynamite numbers. And again, we don't talk a lot about numbers on here because it's boring. Like, nobody cares about ratings, but like,
that was to me, like, I get that numbers are down and there was NBA playoffs, but I still thought that despite all those factors they kind of had going against them, I still thought it would be up, seeing as how you're coming off a picture perfect pay-per-view with a title
with
change.
A new champion.
Like, you would have thought you'd seen a spike. I don't know. I really can't put my finger
Willow,
on it, dude.
Willow Nightingale got the women's championship, dude. Yeah. So, I mean, it was like, you know, wasn't uneventful by any means.
Yeah. Like, if I got hired by AEW tomorrow and they said, like, hey, what can we do to kind of, you know, stop the bleeding on this TV viewership? I wouldn't know what to tell them, man, because I'm honestly entertained by the product more times than not, dude. I think they put out a really good wrestling show. I don't know if it's just promotion or I don't know, man. It's very weird that they're, you know, it just continues to decline after they signed Okada, Ospreay, and Mercedes too.
I was going to say, I mean, you had this Ospreay Danielson match that everybody was talking about. I mean, it was like on every social media platform, and then, like, you know, nobody tunes into Dynamite to see like what's next, you know, like, It's a little bit mind-boggling. And I think the social media numbers were, like, really low, too. I was listening to another podcast, and they were talking about how the clips on YouTube, you know, AEW's got, like, 4 million followers or something crazy on, YouTube, and yet their video clips only had, like, 200,000 views or something. Like, it was...
Pretty much any, like, measurable metric that's out there, numbers are down right now. And I can't explain it, because it's... If it's not as good as it's ever been, it's close, man. It's really close right now. They just have... You know, one of the best rosters ever assembled in wrestling history for any company, right? Like the star power there and the ability. I don't know. I don't know if they need to change time slots. If maybe there's something about Wednesday night is just
That's what I was gonna. Do you think it's the time slot? But I mean, what's going on Wednesday nights?
So, I don't know.
Like, you know.
I don't know. Yeah, it's. It can't just be that it's cool to hate AEW right now, right? Like that seems like what's out there, because there is a ton of like negativity towards them from like the internet wrestling community. People like to shit on them. Like that had kind of always been there from the start, but it seems like over the last year that kind of voice really grew louder.
But do you think it's just like a vocal minority? Because I feel like, I don't know. I mean, I feel like I don't see as much AEW hate. I don't know. Maybe I'm just in a different algorithm or something, but
yeah. I mean, if you go on Reddit, so Reddit's, you can sort Reddit on hot. So it's not like algorithm based. Like you can see what the top posts are, and people do seem to like the dog pilot, right? It's almost like, it's like the morbid, like watching a train crash thing, right? Like people, yeah. Like there's a segment of the fan base that seems to get enjoyment out of seeing like their numbers drop and like the pictures of the low seats, which is just weird because yeah. Dude, go back and watch WWE 2018, 2019, man. Like it could be coincidence, but you cannot tell me that it didn't at least light a fire under their ass a little bit with AEW coming along.
True. And also I feel like maybe AEW suffers a little bit because we don't have anywhere to go watch AEW content, like past content. So yes. like the people are tuning in, they don't really know what's happened in the past 4 years. You know what I mean? And so like, it's, if they could go back and see some of this play out and see some of these incredible pay-per-views, like have a place where they could view it all, like it might change their tune a little bit, but they're just taking it on like the weekly television show. They may or may not buy the pay-per-view, because like, let's be real, like a lot of these people probably aren't even buying the pay-per-views, they're just watching the clips on YouTube, right? So it's like,
yeah, if they could take one page out of WWE's book, I would think having a little bit more like recaps on segments from like the past couple weeks on TV. It seems like yeah. Dynamite's always so jam-packed that it's just from one thing to yeah. another, bang bang bang, whereas you know, WWE takes it too far at times, dude, but they're going to, if something important happens, like it's basically impossible not to know what's going on
yeah.
with it. You know
AEW,
what I mean?
AEW spends so much time telling you what's going to happen next week that they never, like they don't ever like wind back and tell you what happened the week before. So yeah.
And I think there's an assumption that anybody tuning in is just like, you know, dialed all the way in. And I'm sure there's some fans that are, dude, but I feel like you could maybe grow a little bit if it was a little bit more accessible. You know, it's still yeah. wrestling, so it's not like, you know, you're diving in the middle of The Godfather and trying to get
yeah,
caught up.
Right,
but
right.
Still, some of these storylines get pretty damn convoluted. I'm as deep into yeah. this shit as anybody, and I got to check my notes sometimes to find out exactly, like, you know, what was going on with this or that storyline.
Yeah, a few years ago, I took a social media marketing, like, class, like a little course online, and yeah, they talked about how, like, you can't assume that everybody sees everything you do. You know what yeah. I mean? Like, if you're going into it, like, if you're talking on your stories and you're like, you feel like you've already told this story once, like, there's going to be a whole group of people that didn't even see that. They may follow you, but they don't follow you close enough that they saw that information. So you have to continually sprinkle that information throughout like whatever you're doing, because otherwise like people are going to tune in, they're going to be lost, right? And like not know what you're referring to.
Definitely. The other thing that I think could really help them out is if with this next media deal, assuming that it goes through without a hitch and they're, you know, re-up with Warner Brothers, if they get a foothold on Max, to have something similar to what WWE's presence on Peacock is, right?
Like, they definitely need that.
Give us all the back catalog of pay-per-views, episodes of Dynamite, Collision, Rampage. Give us a little bit of bumper content with like some documentaries and original programming and stuff. I think all that would help. If there was one thing that I... probably my biggest critique on AEW is that nothing has weight to it, right? Like it's kind of, I always refer to, it's like wrestling junk food to me, right? Mm-hmm. Like it's really, really awesome when I'm sitting down watching and experiencing it, but I'm not really thinking about it after it's over, yeah. right? And it's like, it's almost like you kind of got to think hard to remember what you just saw. Whereas like, you know, I feel just the added stakes, right? And I feel like having that easy access to like the back catalog and like the older shows and being able to produce, you know, some of the different original content around it would help to add some of the gravitas to these big matches.
Yeah. And you can't remember, like for me personally, like I mean, I have a bad memory anyway, but even I know you, we've talked about this before, like you can't remember like which, like what event, what happened at you. They all kind of like run together a little bit. Yeah. You're like, well, shit, was that, you know, Double or Nothing, or was that all out?
Like, it's like it was the AEW pay-per-view where every single match was badass start to finish.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, shit,
and they all, I mean, besides like, you know, going to Wembley and stuff like that, like for the most part, they all feel the same and yeah. look the same. You know what I mean? So it's kind of just like, you know, like you said, it just all kind of runs together. So if you had that back catalog where you could go revisit and like rewatch and stuff like that, because there's a ton of matches that are worth a rewatch,
but you just never reach for it, dude. Yeah. It's just, you know, it's a pain in the butt because at this point I've bought AEW pay-per-views from like 3 or 4 different providers and they all got different replay rules, different apps I got to go to. It's just, you know, like, dude, we've watched Roman and Cody from night 2 probably 6 times, dude, this in the mm-hmm. 3 weeks since it happened, man. I'm not sure if I'll go back and watch Ospreay and Danielson again. Like, it's just, I don't know. Like,
it's
I said,
lost in the ether, dude.
Yeah, right? I feel like they could do some stuff to add just a little bit of like historical weight to what they're doing. And I know WWE had a 40-year head start, but they're still, you know, AEW's 5 years deep into it.
You have to start building some nostalgia sometime. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, you have to, because, dude, wrestling fans love nothing more than nostalgia.
Yes.
And it can be 5 years ago and it's still nostalgic, right? So, like, it doesn't have to be like just because WWE had a 40-year head start, like, you can still create those moments where you're like, holy shit, remember back at freaking All In, or you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, make it easy for me to go back and watch Mox debuting at the end of Double or Nothing. Like,
dude, that would be
crowd.
So awesome, yeah. Man. Like, you forget about
don't
that.
Don't make
stuff,
me have to
dude.
Go digging through Bleacher Report and go, you know, find my purchase receipt so I can re-download
exactly.
the event again and stuff,
or like,
man.
You know, look at the clips on YouTube and shit. Yeah. You don't get the fully immersive experience when you're on YouTube, dude.
Yeah.
So
Tony Khan, if you're listening, that's our strategy to, you know, help stop the bleeding a little bit and bounce back. I will say I love the angle at the end of Dynamite, man, with them attacking.
Yeah, speaking of Tony Khan. Yeah. I thought it was cool, dude.
It was cool. I'm a sucker for any time they have, you know, it gets real and the announcers lay out and stop talking. You know, Tony Schiavone was in the ring. Like, I thought it was really cool, and it definitely established the Elite as like, it made me think of like the early NWO, not the NWO when they were like the cool guys and were basically good guys, like the evil NWO, like chunking Rey Mysterio into the side of a trailer and stuff like that. That's kind of what it put me in mind of. And I'm really intrigued to see where this faction goes now with Okada, Jack Perry in the books.
Yeah, well, as awesome as that was, this was the weekend, as you're listening to this, the NFL draft is going down as we speak.
We're,
right?
So we're like, recording Friday night, so day 2 of the draft just wrapped up.
Yeah, and, you know, there was some discussion after it happened on Wednesday, like, oh my God, is Tony Khan going to show up to the draft in a neck brace?
Be in the Jaguars draft room.
Sure enough, dude does it, dude. Like, I'm like, oh my God, this is so awesome, right? Like, he shows up. Fully immersed in the gimmick, right? Just living the gimmick. And I was like, this is so cool. And then they put him on a freaking hot mic. And I'm just like, God damn, Tony. Like, you know what I mean? Like this guy just cannot get on a mic. Like, we cannot just let this guy freely talk because he's a mess, dude. He's a train wreck.
Yeah, if I was in here, he basically, you know, he said a bunch of stuff, dude. And like the announcers were kind of yucking up with him and everything from NFL Network. And then he started talking about AEW, how they're the Pepsi of wrestling. It's like, okay, yeah we're with you, dude.
Yeah, we're with
cool.
you. Coca-Cola is WWE.
He said, but we're going up against WWE, which is the Harvey Weinstein of wrestling, dude. And it's just like, ugh.
Yeah.
You can tell the announcers were like trying to hurry up and wrap the segment up and change the subject. It was just...
And you can tell the thing about it is that, you know, like, I could tell just by the expression on his face, he is like, that's not the first time he said that. He's probably like rehearsed it in the mirror. Like, he's said that backstage to people before. He's like, oh yeah, this is the joke right here. This, this is the jab right here. I'm going to call WWE the Harvey Weinstein of wrestling.
See, I got a different vibe, dude. I thought he was on his way to saying that they were like the Coke while they were the Pepsi. And I think he realized like halfway, like he didn't want to give them that compliment of saying they're the Coca-Cola. And I think he's just like, what's like the most despicable thing?
I don't
thing
know.
I
no, because at the beginning he said we're up against an evil megalith or something like that. I can't remember what words he used.
Or, why not go with
he definitely said evil.
Go with
you
that.
Know?
Call him the Death Star and say you're the Jedi Rebel. Something like that.
Yeah,
you know
exactly.
I mean?
Yeah, that dude, that's a way better. Yeah. That's a way better freaking.
Dude, it's like, it was just dumb. Like, why say that, dude? Like,
I know you are the leader. You are the CEO of a freaking company. Like, you know what I mean? It's not like it'd be one thing if freaking, you know, Mox or somebody got on there and said some shit like that, right? But like, the CEO of the company gets on national television to an audience who may or may not be even watching the product, right? So he had this golden opportunity to like open up the nostalgia box again, like, hey, come watch our wrestling product, right? Like, these people who are watching the NFL draft and watching NFL Network, you know, like, hey, cool, we got this wrestling product over here. But instead he takes that opportunity to just like, you know, say something shitty about WWE, which, whatever, dude, like, you know, we can argue back and forth about what came first, the chicken or the egg, like who's talking shit about who, which, let's be real, Cody kicked off the fucking talking about shit about people because he broke that
throne.
He broke the throne. Yeah, he like he opened that can of worms.
Look at him now.
And yeah, look at him now. But yeah, I just feel like Tony, dude, you're better than that.
I mean, to me, dude, I think he is a big contributing factor on AEW kind of stalling out all that momentum that they had. Now they're like actively losing momentum. I think he fashions himself as like, you know, this big underdog and like this, he's got this victim mentality, but the dude is the son of a billionaire, right? Like this guy was freaking born on third base, man. Like he's getting to live out his dream running this wrestling company, man. It's just for fun. Literally has no bearing on, you know, his
right.
Actual
success. It could all go away tomorrow and he's still going to be a billionaire.
It's not hurting him
dude.
One bit, dude. Yeah.
He's actually doing his real job right now. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, this- I think, dude, so you got your hardcore AEW fans that no matter what, right, they're going to watch. Like Tony Khan could literally come out and say anything, dude. And it's not going to detract him. You got your hardcore WWE fans that whether it was freaking, you know, Roman Reigns and John Cena both signed with WWE and they fought in a tag match against, you know, Kenny Omega and Will Ospreay, the WWE fans still wouldn't watch. But then you got your people in the middle, dude. And I feel like shit like this turns off the people in the middle to make them be like, you know what? I'm over AEW, man. And
yeah.
Like they tune it off. You saw it, dude, when, you know, Tony had a freaking a breakdown when NXT beat AEW in the ratings earlier this year, dude, was making the most, you know, reaching tweets. You know, he tweeted out about John Cena and Undertaker being on a show that did less than 1 million viewers. It's like, dude, just take the L and keep it moving, man. You're doing great stuff, dude. Like,
right.
I feel like his unlikability is something that is definitely turning off the, you know, the swing votes, right? Like the people who got a foot in both camps, man. Like I'll always watch it. Cause I love wrestling and I love AEW, man. Like when AEW's hitting, it's like the freaking best wrestling team.
And it goes without saying, if you've listened to this show, we want AEW to succeed. So like anybody who like ever would claim that we're, you know, just like WWE marks through and through.
No,
like, dude,
I guarantee you we're in the top 0.1% of people who have legitimately supported this company, dude.
Yeah, like, you drove freaking 10 hours recently to go to a fucking
pay-per-view. We bought every pay-per-view Tony Khan has ever put on. The Phelps family has purchased. We got every figure. We bought the deluxe version of the video game. That was a fucking mistake.
We've gone to Dynamites, dude. Yeah, we bought the freaking shitty video game.
Any chance we've had to
every AEW figure that's come out, dude.
Yeah, like literally, like we support this company, dude. Like it just I just feel like they'd be in a better spot if he wasn't. And the other thing is, dude, like call a spade a spade, he fumbled what would have been like the biggest money match in history if they could have got the Bucks and CM Punk and Kenny Omega to all work together.
Yeah,
dude. Like they would. That's really where this all goes back to, man. When things started going south with Punk, and that really that was kind of where the rose came off the bloom for me, man, was it All Out 2022 when Tony Khan sat there and let CM Punk just run down
his
entire company
there,
and roster was sitting right there. Like from that really planted like a little bit of like just negativity towards me. Like what the hell is actually going on behind the scenes in this company, man? And I hate it because I can't stand CM Punk, but I don't think you'd have a hard time arguing against any of the shit that he's said publicly since he left, man.
Yeah, and it was even worse, but like you said, because Tony Khan was right there, and instead of just like
Hangman, dude, how are you not going to take up for Hangman Adam Page? This dude is a freaking school teacher turned wrestler, dude, family man. Like Hangman is fucking awesome, dude. And like you're gonna sit there and let this asshole just run him down right next to you? Like no, fuck that, bro. Like. Dude, Tony
and looking like he's scared to say anything.
Yeah.
That was the thing. Like, you know, I mean, just stand up or just be like, you know, that's all for today. Like, cut the fucking interview off. You know what I mean? Like, he could have stood up and shut that shit down right there.
Yeah, crack a joke, add some levity, and say, you know, hey guys, CM Punk obviously had a rough night tonight, and he's taking out on all of us here. Let's move on and, you know, bring whoever out who's coming out next, dude.
But
instead you just sit there and let this dude eviscerate your whole freaking. Because really, all the stuff CM Punk was saying, he was really talking about Tony Khan, right?
Right.
Like, that's really who he's taking the shots at, dude. It was just...
Yeah, didn't he say, like, no offense or something like that, like, to Tony Khan? Like, I'm just like, ugh.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
It was just... And then it seemed like the mismanagement and, like, the foot-in-mouth, like, quotes and tweets and stuff since then have kind of just been at a steady stream. So, I don't know. Maybe I'm being too hard on the guy, dude, but that was really where...
I don't dislike Tony Khan. I mean, like, that's the thing.
Tony Khan brought us this, dude.
Yes,
like,
I don't dislike him,
yeah,
dude.
Take the good with the bad. AEW wouldn't be here if it wasn't for Tony Khan. So hats off to him, man. Like, he took the vision that Cody and the Bucks
had. He could be spending his millions
and
billions of dollars on whatever he wants, right?
Yeah, like, and just chilling. And not having to, you know, subject himself to, you know, just fans like us, you know, critiquing his every move.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's part of wrestling. That's what we do. And... I think the dude has just made unforced error after unforced error over the last, you know, 12 to 18 months.
Yeah, it's just, it's not good, not good. And I have a feeling it's not going to get any better with him being an on-screen talent at this point.
I really think it's a one-off, dude. I trust him at his word that he said he was never going to be on screen. I think it was a one-off just to get heat on the Elite, dude. I did kind of like
you Papa. Get the itch.
I kind of like Papa Khan coming down there, dude. Shad Khan coming down looking mad. I feel like he should be the real like authority figure for AEW, dude. Like, we don't see him that much, you know, maybe every freaking, you know, it'd be like Jack Tunney back in the day, dude. Just when you see Shad coming out, you know shit's about to get real, dude. Yeah. Like, somebody's about to lay down the law.
All right, real quick, any other AEW thoughts before we move on?
Nah, I don't know, dude. For the listeners, man, do us a favor. You guys are always asking us questions. I'm asking you questions. If you don't watch AEW, or if you used to watch AEW and stopped, please write in, and you know, you can respond to like the listener mail question, and we'll read it next podcast. Let us know why, dude.
Hit us up in the DMs on Chick-fil-A.
Yeah, DM anything, dude. Find a way to get in touch with us. Let us know why you either haven't given AEW a chance, or why you stopped watching AEW, because the product really is good enough that it should be doing better numbers than it is.
Mm-hmm. All right. We did have another title change really quickly before, you know, we're going to touch on some WWE. Trick Williams whooped that Trick Ilya Dragunov and won the NXT championship.
Awesome, dude.
And the moment was so explosive, like the hard cameras and stuff were like shaking, dude. Like, it was absolutely nuts.
Yeah,
dude.
Trick is the man. The glow up he's had over the last year, it's just incredible. Like, I mean, he was just a cool sidekick. I'll be honest, dude, I did not see it coming with him, man.
Dude, I was about to give you props, dude, because you were one of the first people that I knew that was on the Trick Williams bandwagon, dude. Because like, everybody was like talking about Mello, and you're like, dude, Trick is the man.
As soon as it started, I saw the glimpses really quickly. As soon as he started branching off and doing stuff single, so yeah, I'll say that before it was a whole movement, I saw it. But I'm talking about like when he was first coming around with Mello. Like, I thought that he was just going to be like
he's cool, going to be sidekick,
whatever. Yeah, exactly. Like, I did not I didn't see it like that at all. But yeah, you're right. I did start buying off Trick Williams stock immediately when I saw him start wrestling some singles matches.
Yeah, because I started when you started saying that, I started paying attention to Trick. Because like you said, he wasn't even on my radar really. And then you were like, you know, dude, this guy has the potential to be like the next big thing, dude. So,
dude, he's got that same thing that Bad Bunny has that made Bad Bunny such a natural. The ability to sell and register with his like body language and facial expressions, dude. And it builds so much sympathy, man. Like, the fans are just going along for the ride with him. And it's, you know, it's cool when Bad Bunny does it, but Bad Bunny's like 530 pounds. It's really impressive that Trick Williams is able to do it, because the dude looks like he should, you know, he could be a top five pick in the NFL draft at wide receiver or something, right?
Monster.
Yeah. Like, he's a huge guy, you know, built like he's freaking chiseled out of stone, man. But he's the man, dude. I think he's the brightest prospect in all of wrestling right now, because he's still super green. That's the thing. Like, he is not that much experience at all. So if he continues
chiseled out a little
bit. If he continues to improve, like, I could totally see, you know, whoop this Trick going down at the end of WrestleMania some year. You know, if it lines up, imagine if he does it in Nashville, dude. Imagine whoop that Trick
that
in Tennessee
so
to close out WrestleMania, dude. Like, I love Trick, man. I'm really, really glad. It was kind of a spur of the moment decision. I'm so glad that we decided to go to Vengeance Day, because that was really, you know, it wasn't the coronation, obviously, but I think that night really solidified Trick Williams standing as like the new face of NXT. He opened the show and he closed the show, and the whole night was really just built around him. It was a packed house there
everybody
in Clarksville.
Was there to see Trick,
and everybody was there to see Trick, dude. The random whoop dip Trick chance just going out before the show even started, like, that was just a really, really magical night, and I'm always going to look back on that fondly. It was definitely a core wrestling memory for me this past Tuesday, sitting on the couch with Brett watching Trick win that match, dude. Like, we were both marking out big time. So, yeah, just really, really awesome to see Trick be on top.
And it was full circle. Brett was so bummed at Vengeance Day.
Yeah, he said, I can't believe we went and Trick Williams lost both matches.
Yeah, poor guy. Oh, man. But yeah, congratulations, Trick, and that's going to wrap up our in-ring talk for tonight's show.
All right, let's hit some Keeping It Tranquilo.
Ooh, yeah. El Ídolo!
All right, Keeping It Tranquilo is where we give you guys some outside-the-ring entertainment recommendations. Sheena, take it away with this week's call.
So we've been watching, we were only about a halfway through the season, but it's only going to be one season, I'm assuming, right?
No, it's going to be an ongoing series.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Okay, cool, cool. So there's
a ton of lore with this.
Oh, the new show Fallout. It's based on a video game. I never played the video game series. Video game series, based on a video game series. And it is so cool. Like post-apocalyptic, like totally my jam. Just the way they have like fleshed out this world where it's like the vaulties and then like the surface dwellers and all of this, it is just absolutely awesome. There's Walter Goggins is in it, which I love everything that man does. So if you haven't, it's on Amazon Prime. Check it out.
You don't got to be into the games either.
I've never played the games. I've seen them. I mean, I know what they are, but
I was always intrigued, but I've never really been a big RPG player, so I never got too deep into them. But I always liked kind of like the premise of the games and just the set design, the world building, the visual effects are off the charts on the show.
Yeah, so I highly, highly recommend. It's the gore is insane.
Like over the top.
There's some over the top gore. So if you're not into that kind of stuff, maybe viewer beware. But it's all like I don't know.
It's like a satire.
It's
right?
kind of like campy yeah. gore. You know what I mean? But
it's not like painful. Like it's gross out, but it's not like scary, like mean, like hard to watch.
Yeah, it's not like torture porn type stuff. Yeah. It's just like where you're just like holy shit. Like you know yeah. what I mean? Like you just something happens and you're just like yikes.
The whole story of the game. It's not meant to be like hyper realistic, right? Like
no,
this is all
yeah.
like it's like a little bit of a send up of like post apocalyptic stuff and mm-hmm. like consumerism. It's a lot of stuff going on in the show, but very, very cool.
Very cool. So highly recommend. That's my keeping it tranquilo recommendation for this week.
All right, Sheen, do we have any listener mail?
Oh yeah. All right, our buddy Johnny JB says, not a question, but an observation. I really like the story that AEW is brewing with Jack Perry and the Elite. I look at Jack Perry in a different light now. He's definitely elevated his status.
We've always been high on Jungle Boy, Jack Perry, whatever you want to call him. So I'm all about seeing him ascend to main event status.
Yeah, 100%. Definitely on board for Jack Perry. Zach Hertzler says, out of the last several world title changes in pro wrestling this month, which is going to be the best for pro wrestling as a whole?
Trick Williams, we just talked about it there. Swerve, I like Swerve. It feels like his days are already numbered. Cody was all about just finishing the story. I don't see Cody having any kind of crazy reign. I feel like Trick is, over the next year, is going to become the face of NXT a la Johnny Gargano. I thought it was significant that they had Johnny Gargano come out and give him the final pep talk before that match. I think that's where he's heading. For his NXT destiny, foresee him on the main roster. And I think unlike a lot of the NXT guys, I think Trick's going to be one of the ones that hits. And I think this reign is just the start of a tremendous next couple of years for Trick Williams.
Yes, I 100% agree with what you said, but I also think Cody, I mean, we all know it's significant, but I also think it's going to be good for pro wrestling as a whole. I think it's going to allow us to really just kind of ruminate on the reign of Roman Reigns, and really appreciate what he did for the business over the last 4 years. And then when he comes back, he's going to be like bigger and badder and more awesome than ever, dude. And we still have so many good matches ahead. I mean, we still have like
Cody Rock. You'd look at it more as the title change instead of the title reign then, huh?
What do you mean? It's what he said. World title changes in pro.
Oh, okay, I got you. I was looking at. Okay, so yeah, no, in totality, yeah, you're right, dude. Yeah, I agree with you. Then yeah, you're right on Cody. Sorry.
Out of the last several world title changes in pro wrestling, yeah, this month. I think Cody's going to be the one that's the best for pro wrestling as a whole.
And it opens up so many stories too. Taking the belt off Roman, Cody's got, like you said, Cody's got cool things he can do. And dude, there's already We Want Roman chants at the shows, man. So he's going to be probably the biggest babyface in the company when he does come back.
Johnny also says, do you think it's time for Jericho to step away? I love Jericho and I've been a fan of his since the debut in 99, but I feel like his AEW run is stale now and he should be a manager or commentator. He's got the gift of gab. I do think they should move him to a different role. You know what I mean? Dude, the man, like I said, everything he does and everything he says just turns to freaking gold. The man can go on the mic, dude. And people always buy into whatever Jericho's selling, people buy into it. So I would love to see Jericho as just like a manager type situation for somebody. And, just being like a Paul Heyman, you know what I mean? And like being somebody's advocate. And, I think that would be a much better role for him than vying for titles in AEW. What are your thoughts?
Yeah. I think unquestionably his best days are behind him, but he has earned the right to go out on his own terms. So I wouldn't be opposed to seeing a little bit less TV time from Jericho if that's the direction they go.
Mm-hmm. Brett Charles says, do we think Swerve is a transitional and Ospreay takes it at Wembley? We kind of discussed this already.
I don't think he's transitional champ.
Yeah, I think transitional is the wrong word.
I don't think he's due for a long run. There's so many guys who are kind of at the point that they need to hold, you know, that world championship. I just see it. I see that belt getting passed off a little bit over the next couple of years. I think, or the next, you know, year and a half. I think we see a series of shorter runs as opposed to something like MJF holding it for, you know, a year plus.
Yeah. Brett, we kind of touched on this, but he also mentioned that he doesn't want to see Tony Khan as an on-screen character full time. And Tony Barker piggybacked on that question and said, expanding on that, does AEW need a constant authority figure character on screen at all? Or do you think the show would benefit from that? You said Shad would be a good.
But not as a constant authority figure. I hate people involved in every single match storyline. Yes. I grew up on Jack Tunney, man, where you see him a handful of times a year just to lay down the law. Yeah. So Shad would be cool for that. Something else, I think that'd be great for Sting, man. If Sting's still going to be around, imagine, you know, 4 or 5 times a year when the situation calls, you're like, Sting is showing up next week to make a ruling on this, dude. And you see Sting come back to be the, because, I mean, who's more authoritative in pro wrestling than Sting?
Yeah, that's awesome. I would love to see that. Zach Hertzler, do you see Kenny Omega coming back to battle the Elite after the attack on Tony Khan?
I think that's where we're heading. I think we're going to see the Elite going against, you know, some combination of FTR, Kenny Omega, and the, you know, Edge and his little mini faction he's got going with Eddie Kingston and Mark Briscoe. I see those guys kind of being the Khan Crusaders. The con men.
Phil Dunnett says, could Brett throw a more convincing punch than that Jungle Boy one? Oh, man. Don't hate on Jungle Boy. I thought it was perfectly fine. I mean, he didn't want to risk, you know, making Tony Khan scared for his life. So, you know, he maybe pulled back just a little bit. Tony Barker says, who would you have as your blood and guts team to take on the new version of the Elite?
I think we kind of just answered it, man. But if I had to pick 4, I'll go FTR, Edge, and Kenny Omega.
That's a good one. Tony Barker, which do you think is the number 2 men's championship? Oh, this is a good question in AEW. We have the TNT, Continental, International, and even the FTW title. Seems like all variations of the same theme.
I think all 4 have been the most important at different times. I mean, that's kind of a gift and a curse. They can elevate as needed. Like when the International, you know, when Mox and Orange Cassidy were going back and forth for the International, it felt like the most important one. Right now, I'd say it's probably the Continental just because Okada has it. I don't think... You know, if we got Tony Khan down and asked him to rank them out, I think he'd probably say that they're all kind of equal and just depending on the, you know, the month and the, you know, time of the season. This one's going to be the top one.
Yeah, I think 2 mid-card championships is more than enough, dude. I think having the world title and then 2 mid-card championships and then, you know, tag championships. Like, we don't need all this extra fluff. There's so many titles in AEW. It's just bananas. Tony Barker, which of the recent WWE releases do you think would make the biggest splash in AEW?
I say Jinder, just because he's so different, you know.
Jinder would be cool.
They don't have enough big monstrous guys there, and he already got the built-in storyline. Like, even if it was just for like a couple-month run, like give him his big match with Hook. You know, that's who he was talking shit with, earlier this year on social media when Tony Khan was making a big deal about Jinder Mahal getting a world championship match on Raw. As ridiculous as that sounds, but yeah, I say Jinder.
I think Cameron Grimes would be a good fit for AEW. I feel like he's got AEW energy, you know?
Just I think he's like... probably going TNA, dude. I see him going back to TNA, man. But yeah, I mean, Cameron Grimes is great. I was really sad to see him get released.
Tony Barker, what do you think is the future for the Forbidden Door concept with New Japan? Seems like with Okada, Switchblade, Ospreay all signing, AEW's most of the marquee talent from NJPW has been raided. Are there still must-see dream matches left?
I don't really think there were that many dream matches really to begin with for the most part. I think Forbidden Door as a concept should work. It shouldn't be just New Japan AEW. It should be everybody, dude. You know, it's all the super friends getting together to put on a show.
Yeah. And Sam said, well, also when Japan talent is on the show almost weekly, what's forbidden?
Yeah.
Tony Barker, what is your most wanted figure from the AEW? I would love to see a black and white timeless Tony Storm. That is so funny. I mentioned that. I thought that should be the chase, which should be the black and white Tony.
Feels like a ringside exclusive to me, man.
Yeah.
I'd love to get a Supreme MJF, man. I don't feel like we've had a definitive MJF figure yet in the line. They got that devil coming out pretty soon. It's pretty cool, but I would love to see a Supreme release with him, even if it's got to be like a Walmart or Vault exclusive. Give us like the big robe and everything. Like, mm-hmm. I think that'd be really cool.
Very obscure, but I think I would love an Abaddon figure or a Sue.
We were supposed to get Abaddon. So we were supposed to get Abaddon. She got canceled. Like, she was in an announced lineup, got canceled. And Jeremy teased that we were going to get Sue's van as a playset.
Dude, Sue's van as a playset would be so awesome. I remember when that first happened, we were like, dude, you know, when they graffitied on Sue's van, we were like, dude, we need this.
The Wrecking line from WWE seems like it's been very successful, right? Like, they're cranking out more and more stuff with it. So,
dude, that Wrecking truck that Brett got, it's awesome.
Yeah, it's a really cool toy.
Stone Cold Steve Austin Wrecking truck. His grandma got it for him. And it's cool.
Yeah, there's definitely a market for it, man. So, yeah, I'd love to see Sue's van. That would be really neat.
Zach Hertzler, why the hell does Mercedes get a title shot at Double or Nothing when she has yet to have a match in AEW? I mean, shit, it took CM Punk a while till he got a title shot.
It's wrestling.
Yeah, true. Yeah, and the women, and I think it's different with CM Punk because the men's division is just, it's just different. The women's division in AEW is so lacking. If they don't bring Mercedes in and put her right at the top of the card, then what the fuck are they doing? Because, like, I mean, who else is going to be in there? You know what
I mean?
And
she's the CEO.
And she's the CEO, yeah. And she's got built-in clout, dude. I think, you know, I mean, we can pretend like we don't know that Mercedes was Sasha Banks, but, I mean, she was Sasha Banks. So, I don't have a problem with it, again, especially considering the state of the women's division over the last several years for AEW. Sam Rosenthal, how soon does Tony do a match? I bet anything within a year or two. He wants to be Vince in the Attitude Era so bad.
I can't see it, man.
I can't see him doing a full blown match. I definitely see him being like taking more one off bumps and stuff, though.
I still don't think he's gonna end up being an on screen character, dude. He's got to. I don't know. It's saying a lot, but I feel like even he's self aware enough to know that that's just not a good idea.
Yeah. All right, well, that wraps up our listener mail.
All right, so that's it for this episode. Barely beat an hour. We try to get these under an hour when it's just me and Sheena hopping on. But thanks, everybody, for tuning in. Again, that AEW question, reach out to us. If you stopped watching or if you've never watched, let us know why. Sheena, remind the listeners where they can find you guys on social media.
You can find me on Instagram at Chick Foley, Marco running the Twitter machine over at Chick Foley Show. Join our Foley fam and all the fun we're having over on Facebook at chickfoley.com. And be sure you're following all of our Pod Foundation brethren, Coming Down the Aisle podcast, the Turnbuckle Tavern, and the guys over at the Extra Cooler Show. It's literally all the wrestling content that you need for the week. Such great shows, such great wrestling fans. And you can find all of them at their handles.
All right, that's a wrap for this All Elite episode. Sheena, hit us with some closing thoughts and we'll get out of here.
Closing thoughts. Just support wrestling, guys. All of it. AEW, WWE, whatever your flavor is. We should want all wrestling to win.